Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Will the South African government actually manage to vaccinate all the people that need to be vaccinated? Well, we've asked Professor Linda Gail Becker, Professor of Medicine and Chief Operating Officer at the Desmond Tutu HIV Foundation, to address that question. A very good morning, Professor. How are you?
Hi, Howard. I'm fine. Thank you. How are you?
I am well, thank you. So look, we're not shooting the lights out. That's pretty clear.
No, I think, I think there are multiple problems here. One of the big ones obviously being just manufacturing of vaccines around the world is just insufficient. So we, on the one hand, are not, having enough vaccines for everybody immediately. And then secondly, it does seem that, the forces have been against us. We have had setback after setback. But it's clear that, getting our hands on the vaccines and then getting them into people is an urgent priority. And I'm not sure exactly how to solve the former. The second is that, I think the country does have the capability. And my sense is more that we just aren't laying our hands on sufficient vaccines to really move to our, A game in this regard. And that's a problem.
What is your thought now, looking back, on whether we should have or should have not used that AstraZeneca million vaccines?
It's probably a million rand question as well. I mean, I think at the bottom line, we still actually don't know how effective AstraZeneca would be in the face of the beta variant. I think it would have had some efficacy, and I hear what you're saying, that maybe some efficacy is better than none, and I hear that. I guess the problem is just, if we had seen no efficacy and people really felt that vaccines weren't any good at all, would we actually have such a negative impact on vaccine confidence that ultimately we would undermine the whole campaign? And, and I think we're still sitting with our... scratching our heads in this regard. I actually don't know. As it happens, it's done and dusted, and I think what we have to do is try and get our hands on vaccines that we know are going to be efficacious and move them as quickly as possible.
What are we seeing in terms of efficacy of the Johnson & Johnson and the Pfizer?
So it's early days. I think you heard President sort of announce some results. That is somewhat preliminary and cursory. The big issue when you're looking at effectiveness is which is your comparator arm. It's easy in a randomized controlled trial. You've got your placebo arm. You can just do how many infections were there and the people who got it, the people who didn't. In this situation, it's who do you compare with, right? And at the same time, we've got a moving target in terms of our own wave. So every day we know we're seeing increased infections. We're in a worse situation this week than we were 3 weeks ago. Again, all of this makes it really difficult. So we are now, I think, 30 days since the last person received vaccination on the J&J in the Sisonke program. And we've been cleaning up data. We've been cleaning up a set of controls. And we are now actively trying to do a very solid analysis of effectiveness. So, I think it's in the next weeks we will be able to give a solid report. I think we're anxious to put something out there that we have to walk back and revise. I think it's always better to take a little bit of time and make sure we come up with something we feel confident about. I do think, what the president was showing has come out of the Purcell data, and it really is looking at how many of our healthcare workers are going down compared to what we saw at a similar time in wave two. As I say, that's a bit of a sort of quick preliminary look. But, you know, I think, you know.
But it probably does reflect something that you'll find once you start analyzing the data.
You know, I mean, I think we have no reason to believe we're not going to see what we found in the ensemble phase three. The good news I can add is that Johnson & Johnson will be locking their data and looking at a further follow-up in the next month or so. I think they were saying early August we'll be getting a sort of a durability readout on the ensemble phase three. So that, I think, will also be very important information we can feed into our sense of confidence around J&J. So looking forward to that data.
I see there's some recent negative press around the China COVID-19 vaccines, and then that I think in places like the Seychelles, that's it's proving to be hardly efficacious at all.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that is concerning. So again, if we can, it would be terrific to try and get some data on that vaccine here in this country, even if, you know, it isn't effectiveness, but at least immunological, you know, is it time to start doing bridging studies, for instance, where, you know, into smaller numbers of people, we put the vaccine, we take blood, and we say, can we now compare, at least in the laboratory, what we're seeing, you know, versus, say, J&J or Pfizer, and I think, you know, we can do that in this country, and I think we should start doing that. So I'm looking forward to, you know, to making ourselves available to see if we can help sort some of this stuff out. I think it really is critical for vaccine confidence that people feel like, you know, there's data to support vaccine effectiveness. And so that's my line. And that's the business we're in, and you know, we have excellent laboratories here in this country. We can do that.
And I think that the vaccine confidence is to me a major concern, because we have had with the AstraZeneca, with the initial halting of the J&J, and then now with the destruction of the 2 million. It obviously just feeds into, somebody who has decided they're going to get the vaccine, like myself, it's kind of irrelevant. But where people are anxious, and this is something that they've been thinking about, this does feed into it, doesn't it?
No, that's right. I mean, if you're nervous, if you are anxious, this just, you know, it's a bump in the road, right? It's a speed wobble. And you aren't, you don't feel that sense of, okay, I'm just going to go and do this. And so we have to keep working at making sure that we are reassuring people. Now, having said that, I think we are starting to see more and more real-world effectiveness studies coming through, which I think are very heartening, you know, as countries start to describe in cohorts the impact they're seeing. I mean, we're seeing, I thought it was terrific to see that report that even transmission is impacted if your coverage is high enough. Now, you know, we were speculating about that a couple of months ago. It's great to see it in the field happening. And, you know, again, I hope that reassures people that our most important task here is to get as many people vaccinated as possible. And to a certain extent, whether it's a 70% or an 85%, at the end of the day, if you get coverage up,
that's,
you know,
absolutely,
that those few percent are not going to matter much in the long term.
I see that they have just announced that the 300,000 Johnson & Johnson will be arriving in the country on Friday. So that is good news as well.
It totally is good news, because, as I say, then I think we can flex our muscles around how quickly can we move these forward when, you know, when they're in our hands. And, I mean, I'm very encouraged to see that the Western Cape is talking about max vaccination centres, et cetera, because I think that will help us to see, well, what is our capacity on a daily basis? And, you know, we need to get to that point ASAP, but you can't do it without vaccines, right?
Absolutely right. Professor Linda Gale-Becker, Professor of Medicine and Chief Operating Officer at the Desmond Tutu HIV Foundation, thank you, as always, for chatting to us.